Thank you so much. Dan Johnson, a man that went with, now as a priest, me. He got out. I have no idea how he found a woman that would stay with him. No clue. And I'm a priest. And every week, and it wasn't Wednesday, it was Tuesday, it was actually 31 or 32 burgers. A lot of good times with Mr. Dan Johnson. God bless. I hope you guys are all right with him. And I hope you're all right with me as well, because we were nuts all the time. And we still are today.
We still pray for his wife.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's start with a quick prayer, and then I'll share a little bit about my little story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many gifts you've given us. We thank you for the gifts of nice drink tonight, great food, our faith. We ask that you may continue to pray for each and every one of our parishes, our students, our Diocese of Duluth, our schools, the poor and the sick. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. First, I want to say thank you for being here. I heard it's not Father Tony's area, though. This is Father Dan's area, right? Thank you, Father Dan, for here tonight. I appreciate it. I hope you, Father Tony, in... Good. That's glad. Keep him working. He doesn't work at all. I also want to thank all of you for your prayers. I know that you guys all prayed for me for every day. You pray for all of our seminarians, your priests, your brothers and sisters, and your own families, your parishioners, your schools, and our area as we walk together in our own families of our only church, our churches, but also our diocese and the whole world, that we walk together with Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for your prayers, in a special way for a really kind of cool, eerie, sweet, powerful time last year. It began on August 8th, 2015. It was a half day. The morning was perfect, absolutely perfect. I was doing a triathlon, a small triathlon in International Falls. Perfect weather, no wind, weather was awesome. I really did one of the best races I've done in my own life. And then it got really odd. I started getting a headache, a little dizziness, which was normal for somebody. I've run a lot in my life. And I've had many races where I feel a little dizzy or just, you know, a headache after a race because you're pushing your body to the end. So I was walking around this race. I started noticing that I couldn't talk the whole part. I could still talk and everything, but it was just a little odd headache. I actually asked somebody had some medicine, and we didn't have any there. I ended up getting into the huge Journal of International Falls. That's our paper. And so the article, the journalist was asking me questions, and I could very slowly answer the questions. I ended up leaving the race. I went home, and I put some food in the microwave, and I'm like, I gotta sleep. I have to sleep. I need to sleep right now. I don't feel right. Took some medicine, took a nap, and then I was getting ready at about 2:30 on that Saturday to get ready for Mass at evening. And I started talking to myself because I wanted to make sure everything was okay. At that point, I couldn't speak well. And so I knew that I had to get to the hospital. So why would you do that as a runner, to call somebody and get help to get a ride for the hospital? Well, no, you drive yourself with your truck. And I actually drove, it was perfect. Where I was in my eyes and my body, I was fine. It was more my mental or my brain that was odd. And I walked in, I'm wearing this sweater or this sweaty shirt and shorts because I just finished this race and I haven't cleaned up yet. I walk in and I basically ask them, Mass, 5, medicine. And they looked at me and they're like, what are you talking about? Medicine, Mass, 5. And they said, Father, I think we need you get in the ER room. And I looked at him and my head really hurt at that point. It was like, oh my gosh, this is really, what's going on? And I walked into the ER and I still kind of said the same things, but I was also a little scary because I'm like, what's going on right now? And they're all running around and I'm trying to figure out how to get to church. Like, just give me some meds so I can go to the Mass, please. And they said, Father, you're not going to Mass tonight. And I said, yes I am. Medicine Mass 5. The doctor then, he kind of came in because I was like, what? And I kept asking a question, what is going on? And I couldn't even say that. And she showed a picture of MRI or a CT test. And he said, Father, it looks like you had a stroke. And I said again, Medicine Mass 5. I'm working. He said, no, Father, a stroke. Look at this picture. And that was about the only, literally, that was about the only scariness time I had. I looked at it and I asked the doctor, am I going to die? And he said, nope, you're going to be just fine. We have a helicopter, you'll be out of here, you're going to Duluth, you'll be just fine. I'm like, oh, okay. So I just started praying. And that was it. That first day was very odd. I was kind of in and out of consciousness. Obviously, my parents are tonight. My parents are here tonight. Where are they? My dad and mom. They've kind of been my chauffeur at times. I can't drive, or else they can be my butler or my housekeeper. I absolutely love my parents. So I had my surgery that night, August 8th. So same, about 12 hours after this triathlon, I had brain surgery. That awesome doctor did a brain surgery. Unbelievable. For the next few days, I was kind of in and out. I have a few things on that next day, Sunday. I remember seeing two of my best friends. I saw the first part of really a prayer or God, like the whole time I was praying, but I didn't know the words. And I remember in the ICU where I was praying and I was saying the word Jesus, but I couldn't use the word Jesus. It was like a baby saying G. My little uncle is doing that now. John Paul is his name. And he can say G, G. That was like me saying that as a baby. And at that point, I felt I can't even explain what it is. It was being felt like I was held by God at that point. And then from there on, it was just a great, great time with God. I mean, I kind of thought I was like the president of the United States. I'm in this ICU, perfect, quiet, there's food. Even though I did ask for bacon, I was really mad because it was actually puree bacon. I was very mad about that. But when I think back, that's not really a problem when you're alive after a brain surgery, you know, and you can eat puree bacon. But I remember the time of, again, thinking that I'm the president of the United States. And then I realized, wait, I'm in the ICU, not the presidential suite here. These doctors, these nurses, the friends, the families, the priests, I had so many people visit me. The especially, again, friends, families, most priests of our diocese, I saw them within the first few days. Bishop Paul Serba was there. I remember his father, Rich Kunst, who is my boss in Duluth. God bless if you know him. Pray for him, please. He's got more Pope stuff than Pope does himself. I also have Father Drew Braun. He was one of my best friends. And it was actually those two that night with Bishop Paul Serba, they were actually thinking about the funeral. Now after, I think, well, thank God. Thank you, guys. You had my funeral ready? I wasn't even dead yet. And you're going to do a funeral. But they were there to pray the whole time. And the family, the friends, unreal. So I just want to share a few things of these days. It was actually in 40 days I was out of the hospital. And I wanted to share two parts. The first is the prayer, and then the second is the sacraments that we have. So the prayer. I shared one already about just using my heart. that's a huge prayer for every one of us. Like, yes, we have memorized prayers, we have the history, time we go to church, but St. Paul talks about just praying with the Spirit when we don't have words to say anything. And I know we all can experience that if we're in a sickness area, or if somebody's dying, or it's a very difficult time of life with tough stuff in our world. And sometimes we might not even know the words to pray them. And that's where we allow the Spirit in our hearts to pray through us. So God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will always pray for us, no matter how tough it is, how bad it can be, that God loves us and He wants us no matter what happens. Another prayer for me was the Bible. I've been praying for many years with the Bible. It's been a gift that I loved. It started in like high school. And I could not read the Bible. And I remember it was with my mother. She actually had my book, because there, you know, people, when you have a stroke, you don't really know what's going on in the other person's brain, because you don't know what they're doing. You know, am I like a baby? Or is he just crabby? Is he crazy? And on one side of my brain, I couldn't speak. That was like the lobe that I couldn't talk, I couldn't communicate, I couldn't add, or I couldn't think in some ways of communication. But my other side of my brain, like numbers, or even addition, or math, or relationships, or knowing who somebody is, I knew that. It was just one part of my brain that was hurt. And so I remember I grabbed my Bible, which was there, and I showed my mother, I showed every book of the Bible. I didn't even know the names, Genesis, Exodus, and I just opened the pages and I pointed to them to say, hey, I know what this is. I just can't listen to it right now. And so we had eventually some CDs that I actually bought before, listening to the Bible in my car or my truck, especially now in International Falls where I drive a lot, to listen to the Word of God. Another time is just being with the presence of being with people are huge. It was another time, day 3, 4, 5, one of my best friends, his name is Zach Bennett, that I knew he was there, and I was trying to tell my parents, because I can't say Zach, but I knew it was four letters, so I went like this, four numbers on my fingers, and we looked back and forth, and my mom finally said, Zach? And I just screamed, yes! And he came in and he gave one of the best hugs ever. It's one we will be on my bedroom the rest of my life. Zach coming down is one of my best friends to give me a hug when I'm on the bed. And I love it because there's a little puddle behind my back, because that, and I'm like, where was that from? Oh yeah, that's right, because there was a tube out of my brain. I mean, it's great, and this is how friends work. This is what comes with difficult times. The prayer is huge. The second, another one was the rosary. I couldn't even knew the rosary. I couldn't pray the rosary. And there was a priest there, Father David Forsman, that I asked him, I could talk a little more at this point. I said, Dave, could you pray the rosary with me? Because I can't do the prayers. And he started. He started the Our Father, and I could kind of join in. And the Hail Mary to join in. And I didn't know all the words, but we're still praying together. And it was huge, just powerful. Moving to the sacraments. The first, Father Rich anointed me of the sick, the anointed of the sick. I never knew this, but priests are actually anointed of the sacrament on the other side of your hands, on the back of your heart, of your palm, because you were ordained with oils on your palm already. And so priests are anointed of the sick on the back of your hands. I never knew that happened. I didn't, but that was pretty dang good, because I was anointed of the sick and I was forgiven of all my sins. I don't get why Father Rich didn't give me the apostolic pardon so I could go right to heaven. I've asked that question several times since. Thank you, Rich, for giving me right to heaven. I mean, pet purgatory that you sent me to. On day 6, it was the first time in 6 days that I received the Eucharist in many, many years. And he came into my bedroom, the hospital, and he gave me the Eucharist. That was the first time in years that I hadn't received the Eucharist every day. And then on the 7th day, he came in with his place for his mass kit. Came in, he said, "Ben, you're a priest. I don't care if you can't talk, you can lie in your bed, put on your stole, you're celebrating mass." That was awesome. And that's where Rich, and praise God, he didn't have to do a homily. It was one of the first times I've gone to mass with Father Rich, we didn't have to talk. We had a mass right there in the hospital. He was there out of the 33 days I had mass in my room. He did mass 31 out of the 33 days. Bishop Paul Serbo was in there. Other priests, friends, unbelievable to have Jesus Christ, his body and blood in the hospital with all your doctors and nurses. The confession was very fun. I couldn't say all the words. I did have a priest that listened to what my words were, and he kind of figured out what the sins were, and he gave me the sacrament, or he forgave my sins as a priest. That's unbelievable. It's one of my favorite jobs as a priest, that it takes a few seconds, and as a priest on that side, it's beautiful, it's joyful, and it's actually quite boring because we already know your sins already because we just guess, kind of, you're a guy, you're 50, this is probably your sins. I could probably tell you that. Because sinfulness is boring. All of you, whatever your age, your gender, if you have kids, if you don't, it's all boring. It's the sinful people that are exciting and are different. I mean, think about Mother Teresa, she's a saint. Totally different in the whole world, and the whole world knows her from nothing. She wasn't rich, she wasn't famous, she wasn't trying to be the best in the world, in the star of the whole world. Well, no. Or Pope Francis, same thing. He's unbelievable because he is holy. He's exciting. He's attractive because he shows God's love to our world. Say maybe one more part of the prayer is that as priests and other parishioners or laity might pray the breviary. It's a prayer that we obey and promise to pray 5 times a day. So ask a question to yourself, how do you as a priest that had a stroke that can't talk or read, how do you do your breviary? Well, you talk, you ask your parents, your friends, your priests, your doctors, your nurses. I had nurses that were praying my breviary. I would always say, can you just please read this to me? Don't mess it up. I mean, you don't know how to do it. Just read it, please. All different denomination that would read the Bible, that would read the breviary so that I could do my 5 times a day. Every time in the hospital. From those people. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. After, I think it was I believe, one of the priests would know this better than I would. Is this not 1 year from the 125th anniversary of our Diocese of Duluth? We walked with Jesus Christ in Duluth for a couple miles. Most of you, if you were there, with some in High Falls, other places in our diocese that had this beautiful 4-hour procession of Jesus. I got a best part because I carried Jesus for about a minute. And then I went back to my room and took a nap. And you were all hot and doing all these really holy things. And I just went back to bed in my room. But I do remember I watched Jesus for 30 seconds. And then I went back to the hospital, and there's a kind of that light, or that the floor over the road, that little bridge inside. And I remember watching our whole diocese walking with Jesus Christ, and the hundreds and thousands of people that we had with our Lord. Very, very, very powerful. On day 40, I was out of the hospital. Oh, I had to still do a lot. I did speech therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, psychology, and then I moved out. Praise God, 40 days. And when I think of Jesus' time of the desert, Lent, 40 days is pretty cool in my own experience, in my life. It continued to go after 8 weeks. I was back in International Falls, and I had rides from my parents, my butler, my housekeeper, and my chauffeurs, that I did the masses, all three masses. I needed another deacon and priest. I know Father Paul was there one weekend as a deacon, because I needed help to just pray the prayers and the mass and the homily. My goodness. You can actually listen to it on the internet if you want to, on a podcast. I think it was a little crazy, but also very good. It was my first homily to everybody. And the parishioners knew what I was saying without knowing exactly what I was saying. And in my family now, International Falls, Little Fork, St. Thomas Aquinas, and St. Columban churches, that's like a huge family that we grew together. We just gelled as a family now because they were praying for me and I'm praying for them. And so at first, after 8 weeks, I did all three masses. I mean, that's God. How does a priest do that after 8 weeks of a 66 staples in his brain with a brain surgery to come to a church and do mass? That is Jesus. That is God. And that is how much he loves each and every one of us, no matter what the situation is. If it's good, which in my time it was very hard in many ways, but challenging, but praising God. But for others, it'll be challenging, period. And that kind of sucks. That's humanity. It's who we are. We're not perfect. We have bad things. I mean, one of the things that I've seen a lot with parishioners is they'll say to me, Father, we thank you. We pray for you. We want you to grow and continue to get healthy. I'm still doing physical speech therapy, still learning, reading. And I look at them and I think, sir, you had an injury 30 years ago and you can't use half of your body. And he's looking at me. And I'm looking at him, right? There are people that here, I'm sure, that, I mean, I think now I have contacts. I know some people you can't see well. You can't listen well. Or you might have your relationship or mental illness or addiction or your family that might be in bad situations. And we walk together as a family in our church because we always look at the other person. And I know that. I know people in my own parishioners that they're doing worse than I am physically, and they'll look to me like I'm doing worse because they flip it. They look at the other as better, and we want them to better than I am. Now that's our faith. That's our prayer. That's our sacrament. And it's a time that we can grow with Jesus Christ. I'd like to finish kind of a talk with a quick part in the Bible, a great word for our weaknesses where we are powerful with Jesus. I'll have a few different things, just pass these along if you'd like. Some of the little things I wrote of the Bible and such, kind of funny. And then one last thing, and then if anybody has any questions of this situation, please ask any questions. In St. Paul, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to walk together this evening. We continue to send your Spirit upon us, especially those who are hurt, for those in tough situations, that they will know your love, your peace, compassion, your mercy. We ask that you continue to send your Spirit upon us as we continue with conversation, friendships, as our families and our diocese of Duluth in this world and keep following us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.